Blog Talk Radio.
You won't get, you won't get, I won't get, you 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 won't
What up, what up, what up? It is October 2, 2018, 8 o'clock on the East Coast. You're listening to the Ant Canary Experience. I'm your host, Ant Canary. Welcome to the show. Glad to have you here tonight. tonight's topic, before I get into tonight's topic, I just want to go over a few things. But tonight's topic, in case you're wondering, this is our third annual crime report. This is stats from 2017. Fresh off the, like I say at every show, we don't deal in fake news on the show. So if you're listening to something and you don't believe what I'm talking about, especially with these statistics, you can get on www.fbi.org and pull up the, go through the FBI site, go to the tables where it has the crime and all that good stuff, and you can pull up these, the same figures I'm going to give you tonight came right off that website. So feel free to research if you want. I'm going to do that. And I'm going to read, matter of fact, the way I do it, in case you're new to listening to how I do this particular thing, I'm going to run down every crime. And then what we do is we break it up, we break it up between black and white. And there are other races involved, but we don't concentrate on those because they, even though the entire pie makes up 100%, the others don't really have a large number, you know, when it comes to the main number, you know, if you understand what I'm saying. So I don't include those. I just go black and white. Due to the fact that a few years ago we were talking about, I can't remember the show, but I had the chat room open, and if I'm not mistaken, somebody made the comment of pretty much what white right wingers like to have everyone believe. They've been spouting this lie that, you know, most of the crime in this country is done by black people. And so that got me thinking, so I went ahead and started, you know, researching all this kind of stuff. And I pulled the facts, I pulled the numbers, and, you know, and I'm going to give those to you. Because when you really think about it, you know, all groups of, all races, groups, or whatever you want to call it, all commit crime. There is no one race that, you know, just kills and maims and plunders and all that kind of stuff. All races do it, men and women, children, whatever. I mean, we all do it. But the thing that irks me is that when you have certain groups of people want to have everyone believing that only black people are out there doing all this stuff, only brown people out here doing all this stuff, while the lily white people are out there going to work every day, they pull themselves up, you know. No, that's not even the case. And for example, for example, yesterday was the 1 year anniversary of the Las Vegas shooting done by a white guy. Not too long ago, a white guy killed his entire family, children included, you know. And I mean, black people commit crime, white people commit crime. But, you know, I'm not going to sit up here and just, you know, listen to certain people just keep spouting over and over again, you know, only black people, you know, black people can make up 13% of the population, they're out there doing 100% of the crime. No, that's not how this shit works. So we're going to talk about that tonight. And one thing that would kill me, and I would piss people off on social media, is they would always bring up black on black crime. They would always bring up Chicago, you know, stuff like that. And I would go back to remind them that before there was black on black crime, there was white on, I guess you could say, European on European crime. And then when they decided to come over here, there was white on Native American crime. Then when they decided to go to Africa and bring, you know, our ancestors over here, there was white on black crime. That went on for centuries. And then you could say that when World War II came around, when you had the Jeff. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot one. We were at, I forgot a couple of them. Between the white on black crime, we had white on Mexican, Native American crime, a white on Native American, white on black, white on Hispanic. You could say white on Canadian or white on French, whatever you want to say, you know, whatever. And then during World War II, you had white on Japanese. So they have this crime thing on lock. So whenever I remind them that it was also white on everybody else's crime, then all of a sudden they want to get mad about it, you know, because the statistics that I've seen, you know, about 85% to 90% of white on white crime happens, you know, white people killing other white people, just like black people kill other black people, you know. But they want you to believe that black people out there just killing everybody, which is not the case. And a lot of crime that white people do is white collar crime, you know, so that real undercover type stuff, you know. But we'll talk about that in a few minutes. I'll give you an update on the Hurricane Florence victim down in my hometown of Lumberton. People are still slowly, it's been, about 3 weeks, almost going on a month. Would be a month. It's almost going on a month. It hit the 15th. I want to say 15th of last month. It's slowly, I hadn't been down yet. I may go down there maybe this weekend, but I hadn't been down. I've been talking to people. It's slowly coming back. I think this is, I should have looked this up before I came on, but I was doing something else. I think this is homecoming week, either this week or next week. The schools haven't opened back up yet, so I don't know how they're going to swing this. It may not be until next week, but I'll have to look that up just to see. But a lot of help is pouring into the community, so that's good. Like I said, I haven't been down to see exactly what happened. I'm going to try to get down and check it out. Like I said last week, if you're listening to me and you live down there, that area, and you want to relocate up this way, just let me know. Just get on my Facebook page and, you know, send me an IM. Let me know who you are and all that kind of stuff, and I'll get information to you. I'm helping somebody right now. I sent her a bunch of apartment complexes and phone numbers. I've got to send her some more tomorrow. I made a list. Sent me some information about jobs and all that kind of stuff. So there are jobs here. There are lots of places to rent, you know, however you want to do it. So, if you want to get away from there, because getting hit by two major hurricanes in 2 years is rather hard. So I will do what I can to help you if you want to relocate this way, you know. So just let me know, and I'll see what I can do for you. Because, you know, they don't need to get hit by another one. But if they do, that's pretty much a wrap. So like I said, if you need my assistance, anything, just let me know, and I will do what I can for you. If you want to call in tonight, the number to call in is 563-999-3682, 563-999-3682. I've got three clips to play, and then toward the end of the show, I'll read these stats off to you, because it's going to take me a little while to read them all, because what I do is I go right down the line. I read you off the crime, and then I read you the numbers. They break it down by crime, then they break it down by numbers. I wanted to get information on hate crimes, but they haven't released that information yet. So as soon as I get that information out, I'll get it to you. I'll have to see how they broke it down, because it may be either one show on that, or I may just put it into another show. So as soon as I get those stats, I'll work a show around it and get it to you. Like I said, this show, like, this is the third annual. I've been waiting on these stats to come out, and team. So you know, they've got their get up all the data and then put all the data together, and then so that's why it's 2017, and it, you know, I had to wait till October. So, you know, next year we'll be talking about 2018, it'll be 2019. So we'll you know, be doing this on an annual basis due to the fact that there's just a whole lot of misinformation out there. You know, and what we try to do is, you know, we don't, like I said, we don't do fake news here. You know, this, what we talk about here is the truth. Some people can't handle it. Some people can't handle the truth. So if you can't handle the truth, this is not the place for you. You know, you might want to go somewhere else because we want to talk about truth here. So if you can't handle it, you know, what can I tell you? So we'll be doing that in just a second. The chat room is open. If there's anything in the chat, no, there's nothing here. Nobody's here yet. So the chat room's open. We got three clips. I'll read these stats to you. We may go to 10, then again, we may not go to 10. I don't know. Depends on the calls and what information I got. So we'll see how this goes. 563-999-3682. And before we do anything, let me see if I was having kind of an issue earlier. Let's see if I can pop this. Maybe it might not have an issue. Hey, welcome to the show. What's up?
What's up, Anthony?
Hey, what's going on?
You know, I don't think that quite natural when you can't say that blacks commit more crime. What they're saying is that they disproportionately, being that they only 11% of the U.S. population, which includes men, women, and children. Would you agree?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I've seen charts
of people saying that, you know, we commit 90-95% of the, you know, some crazy out of the, you know, and the messed up thing about that is people see that and they believe it. You know, they won't take the time to, then, you know, they won't take time to research it.
And there's another site called City Data. And you can go to City Data and you can type in any city. And if you find a city that has like 70 or 80%, no, I'm sorry, if it had about 80% white, now I'm about 60% white, 70% white, and maybe a smaller portion of blacks. And they list all the crimes you can even think of, from burglary, larceny, car theft, and, of course, the horrendous crimes and murder and so forth. You see that the blacks in those cities, their incidence of committing crimes is greater than whites. Now, it's not that this is a fact. Question is why is this going on? What can be done to curtail it? And, that's just another show, I guess. But anyway, I just wanted to add that.
Yeah. Okay. As a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, I'll try to pull it up tomorrow. I think on the FBI site, I think they do. If I'm not mistaken, I think they do break it down cities. But I'll double check that, because the old way they were doing it, they changed it. So this year, was kind of not. I'm gonna say hard, but this year I had to actually look for the information. Well, the years before, they put everything on a table, and they gave it a table, like I remember table 21, table 43, and they gave all the information out on the table, so all I had to do was go to that table, and then I could find it. But this time, they changed it up, so I had to go look for it. And they've got other crimes broken down. They've got juvenile crimes broken down, but I don't get into juvenile crimes. And then I think they do cities now, but I've got to double-check on that. And I'll look into that. So yeah, I will pull that up and see if I can get that information on that. That sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, well, City Data has it real good because it compares everything in the city, from the price of the houses, what's the predominant occupation, the wages, and salaries. It pulls up a lot of information: electricity price, water price, so on. But here's the thing.
Oh wow,
Your sons, if you and your sons live next to me, I wouldn't have no problem with them. Because I know that your sons is coming from a functional family where
right.
you, the father, and their mother instilling them, you know, things that wouldn't require them to do that type of activity. But we have to admit,
right,
everyone is not like you and your wife. And
right,
that's where the problem comes. Then see what happens. You get blamed along with that. Your sons get profiled along with what people have experienced from others.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
where a lot, that's where in fact lies the problem, Anthony.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's the stereotyping, because they'll take one person doing something crazy, and then, you know, it could be a 15, 16-year-old teenager doing something stupid, and then instead of them, you know, getting that one person that's responsible for whatever it is, they lump all 14, 15, 16-year-old kids together, and then they say, you know, those are bad kids, they do this, they do that, so they put everybody together instead of just putting it on the person that actually did whatever it was they did. So, yeah, I completely understand about that one. Like I said, I've got three clips. They're not long clips, but I want to play them because I want to try to set this conversation up. And then, like I said, I'm going to read you the stats because it's a pretty long list. And there's a lot of numbers. So I'll read those to you in just a second. Matter of fact, I've got it printed out, and I've also got it printed out as a spreadsheet. And they've got them broken down as a spreadsheet too. And they've got white, black, or African American, American Indian or Alaska Native, Asian Islander, Native Hawaiian, or other Pacific Islander. So those are the others. The others in the categories. And they've got everything broken down into percentages and all that kind of stuff. So they've got this put in, you know, spreadsheet form. And I, matter of fact, I copied it both ways because I want to see how this looks. So if you're in the spreadsheet and you go to that site, it's through our FBI site, you can download this information and print and then take a look at it. And they got numbers out the wahoo, I'm telling you. Let me see how many. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 28 categories that I'll read to you in a few minutes. And they've also got it broken down arrest. Under 18, which I'm not gonna do that. And then the rest 18 and over. So you know, I just do total arrest broken down by race. But those other ones, they're there in case you wanna bring those up and take a look at those. But they total up all the crimes from last year, and then they break them down. So you know, like I say, it's a pretty long list. So I'll save that for last. Because I'll read you the category, I'll read you the numbers, break it down by race, and everything equals to 100%. But I won't read the others because, you know, that'll take way, way long. And that noise you hear in the background is somebody talking, and they're not talking, they're hollering. I guess they want the whole neighborhood to hear the conversation. But anyway, 563-999-3682. 563-999-3682. And, oh, I forgot to add before I get into this. My days here are hopefully coming to an end. I had to put paperwork in today for a new lair, a new secret underground lair. Hopefully I'll be moving to that new secret underground lair in November. So October for this location may be coming to an end, which is good because I'm ready to go. I'm ready to get my new underground lair. So I put paperwork in on that today. I got to follow up with that tomorrow. Got a few things to work out. So I should be coming to you from a new spot, which I'm really excited about. So I'll let you know how that goes. All right. Play for you before we get into these numbers. The first clip, and I played this before, probably on a couple of different shows, depending on what category, on what topic I was talking about. This clip talks about some something called the Black Codes. And if you don't know what the Black Codes were, this clip will tell you what they were. Because I think this ties into what we're talking about, because you have to remember that the laws in this country, and they were created long ago, even though we seem to think that all men are created equal, well, some of these laws are not equal. They don't apply to everybody equally. And you know, if you've listened to the show for a while, you know, I've talked about crime, I've talked about, you know, the industrial prison complex, all that stuff. So what this clip is going to talk about is the Black Codes, and it sets the foundation of what we're going to talk about. Crime, and we're talking about how different groups can sometimes, you would think, can sometimes do different things and get away with certain things, while another group, if they were doing the same thing, can't. And I'll say this for an example, and I'll go to the clip. You know, I did a show when I did on drugs, and how if you get a white guy, you get I say identical, but if you get a black guy and a white guy, and they have the same, like if the white guy got caught with powder cocaine, and the black guy got caught with crack, same with crack, not crack, crack, and it's the same measurement, you know, gram or whatever, you know, whatever the measurements are, that the white guy, in all likelihood, would not be going to jail as long as the black guy is, would be. You know, it's stuff like that, you know. Same crime, you know, and we see that kind of stuff all the time. When you have two, pretty much the same crime, but the punishments are different. Give you background on what they call the Black Codes. Like I said, if you're not familiar with those, then, you know, listening to this will help you get an idea of what we're going to be talking about tonight. So I'll play this, then I'll be right back.
The Black Codes were laws passed on the state and local level in the United States, but mostly in the South, to limit the basic human rights and civil liberties of African Americans. Even though the U.S. Constitution originally discriminated against African Americans as other persons, and both northern and southern states passed discriminatory legislation from the early 19th century, the term Black Codes is used most often to refer to legislation passed by southern states at the end of the Civil War to control the labor movements and activities of newly freed slaves. In Texas, the 11th legislature produced these codes in 1866. The intent of the legislation was to reaffirm the inferior position that slaves and free blacks had held in antebellum Texas, and to regulate black labor. The codes reflected the unwillingness of white Texans to accept blacks as equals, and also their fears that freed men would not work unless coerced. Thus, the codes continued legal discrimination between whites and blacks. The legislature, when it amended the 1856 Penal Code, emphasized the continuing line between whites and blacks by defining all individuals with 1/8 or more African blood as persons of color, subject to special provisions in the law. The Black Codes, enacted immediately after the American Civil War, though varying from state to state, were all intended to secure a steady supply of cheap labor, and all continued to assume the inferiority of the freed slaves. The Black Codes had their roots in the slave codes that had formerly been in effect. The premise behind chattel slavery in America was that slaves were property, and, as such, they had few or no legal rights. The slave codes, in their many loosely defined forms, were seen as effective tools against slave unrest, particularly as a hedge against uprisings and runaways. Enforcement of slave codes also varied, but corporal punishment was widely and harshly employed. Expansion, 1830 to 1860. As the abolitionist movement gained force and escape programs for slaves such as the Underground Railroad expanded, concern about blacks heightened among some whites in the North. Article 13 of Indiana's 1851 Constitution stated, "No Negro or mulatto shall come into or settle in the state after the adoption of this Constitution. The 1848 Constitution of Illinois led to one of the harshest Black Code systems in the nation until the Civil War. The Illinois Black Code of 1853 extended a complete prohibition against Black immigration into the state. All the slave states passed laws banning the marriage of whites and blacks, so-called anti-miscegenation laws, as did several new free states, including Indiana, Illinois, and Michigan. Indiana and Illinois shared borders with slave states, and the southern populations of these states had cultures that shared more values with the south across the Ohio River than the northern populations. In several states, the Black Codes were either incorporated into or required by their state constitutions, many of which were rewritten in the 1940s. Post-Civil War. After the abolition of slavery by the 13th Amendment to the United States Constitution, all former slave states adopted new Black Codes. During 1865, every southern state passed Black Codes that restricted the freed men, who were emancipated but not yet full citizens. While they pursued readmission to the Union, the southern states provided freedmen with limited second-class civil rights and no voting rights. Southern plantation owners feared that they would lose their land. Having convinced themselves that slavery was justified, planters feared African Americans wouldn't work without coercion. The Black Codes were an attempt to control them and to ensure they did not claim social equality. The Black Codes granted African Americans certain rights, such as legalized marriage, ownership of property, and limited access to the courts. But the Black Codes denied them the rights to testify against whites, to serve on juries, or in state militias, or to vote. And in response, the planters' demands that the freed people be required to work on the plantations, the Black Codes declared that those who failed to sign yearly labor contracts could be arrested and hired out to white landowners. Some states limited the occupations open to African Americans and barred them from acquiring land, and others provided that judges could assign African American children to work for their former owners without the consent of their parents. The following are detailed elements of the Black Codes of Mississippi and South Carolina. Mississippi, Negroes must make annual contracts for their labor in writing. If they should run away from their tasks, they forfeited their wages for the year. Whenever it was required of them, they must present licenses, in a town from the mayor, elsewhere from a member of the board of police of the beat, citing their places of residence and authorizing them to work. Fugitives from labor were to be arrested and carried back to their employers. $5 a head and mileage would be allowed such Negro catchers. It was made a misdemeanor, punishable with fine or imprisonment, to persuade a freedman to leave his employer, or to feed the runaway. Minors were to be apprenticed, if males until they were 21, if females until 18 years of age. Such corporal punishment as a father would administer to a child might be inflicted upon apprentices by their masters. Vagrants were to be fined heavily, and if they could not pay the sum, they were to be hired out to service until the claim was satisfied. Negroes might not carry knives or firearms unless they were licensed so to do. It was an offense to be punished by a fine of $50 and imprisonment for 30 days, to give or sell intoxicating liquors to a Negro. When Negroes could not pay the fines and costs after legal proceedings, they were to be hired at public outcry by the sheriff to the lowest bidder. South Carolina. In South Carolina, persons of color contracting for service were to be known as servants, and those with whom they contracted as masters. On farms, the hours of labor would be from sunrise to sunset daily, except on Sunday. The Negroes were to get out of bed at dawn. Time lost would be deducted from their wages, as would be the cost of food during absence from sickness. Absentees on Sunday must return to the plantation by sunset. House servants were to be at call at all hours of the day and night, on all days of the week. They must be especially civil and polite to their masters, their masters' families and guests, and they in return would receive gentle and kind treatment. Corporal and other punishment was to be administered only upon order of the district judge or other civil magistrate. A vagrant law of some severity was enacted to keep the Negroes from roaming the roads and living the lives of beggars and thieves. The Black Codes outraged public opinion in the North because it seemed the South was creating a form of quasi-slavery to evade the results of the war. After winning large majorities in the 1866 elections, the Republicans put the South under military rule. They held new elections in which the freedmen could vote. Suffrage was also expanded to poor whites. The new governments repealed all the Black Codes. They were never reenacted.
Okay, so those are the Black Codes. And the part where it talks about, you know, the vagrancy laws and, you know, going to jail and that kind of stuff, you could say a lot of that 13th Amendment. We have prisons in this country, and they're traded on the stock market. And in order for them to make money for their shareholders, they have to put people in them. And it's shown that, they're talking about black. They're talking about vacancy laws. So if you were black, you didn't have a job, no job. No reason why you're hanging out on the warrant. You could be picked up, put in prison to do manual labor. If you couldn't pay the fine, which 9 times out of 10 probably couldn't, you'd be thrown in prison and you'd have to work off whatever the offense was. So we have that right now. We have, you know, a high percentage of prisons being filled by people of color. You know, now there are white people in prison and jails, but there seem to be more people of color in prisons and jails than white people and other people. Well, those are the Black Codes. This next clip actually talks about that the crime rate has dropped in this country, and I want to say, and I didn't, let me see, did I print it out? I can't remember if I printed it out or not. I don't think I did. No, let me see, I didn't, I should have. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, okay, this is a table from table 43. If I'm not mistaken, I think the crime rate in the country has dropped some. I can't tell you how much because I forgot to print that out, but it has dropped some, and this is what this clip is talking about. Actually, the crime rate in the country has dropped. Some people might try to have you believe that it's high. It was high at one point, but it's not as high as it could be. And I don't know why I didn't print it, but I didn't. But if you want to, you know, get that story, you can go to the website, FBI website, and check it out. But let me just play this really short clip for you, and then I'll play the last clip, and then I will go down the list, and I'll give you what you're waiting for, because I know there's probably some people out there waiting to get these stats, so I'll give them to you. So let's play this short clip, and then I'll be right.
25 years ago, this was kind of a rough street, and you'd definitely think twice about walking it alone at night. But since the 90s, crime in San Francisco has gone way down. And not just San Francisco or California, but across the entire country. Nationwide, the crime rate is almost half of what it was in 1991. Thing is, no one knows exactly how or why this happened. Most experts say it's not one single thing, but a combination of factors. Here are just three plausible explanations. First, mass incarceration. We've been jailing more Americans at record rates, and crime has gone down. And you might think, well, that makes sense. You're locking up more criminals, so of course there's less crime out there on the streets happening. And to some extent, you're right. The Brennan Center for Justice says that mass incarceration accounts for a slight drop in property crime since 1990. Things like robbing houses, stealing cars, and so on. But the Brennan Center says you can't actually attribute the drop in violent crime to mass incarceration for a few reasons. One is that increased incarceration has meant that more nonviolent offenders have gotten locked up, which obviously doesn't have a big impact on violent crime. And the Brennan Center's numbers show that increased incarceration doesn't even necessarily deter crime, which might help explain why in some large states like California, the prison population has decreased and crime has still gone down. So obviously jailing more and more people doesn't explain why crime has gone down. Another theory, new police strategies. In the 90s, increased funding put more police officers on the streets, and some argue that those numbers helped reduce crime. But others say the evidence isn't totally consistent. In San Diego, for example, there were no extra police officers, and yet crime still went down there. Then there's police strategies like broken windows, which targets low-level crimes and misdemeanors, things like selling loose cigarettes on the street or smoking weed out in the open. The jury's still out on how big of a role that helped play in reduced crime. Finally, the introduction of something called CompStat definitely seems to have had an effect. CompStat basically allowed police officers to measure crime stats and target specific neighborhoods and crime for the first time starting in the 90s. No matter what, it's likely that police did play a role in the crime drop, but that's not the only explanation. The third big factor, the economy. The idea is that when more people have jobs, there's less crime. As unemployment went down in the 90s, crime also went down. And as unemployment went up in the 2000s, crime also saw a small increase. It gets complicated, though, when you consider that the recession in 2008 didn't actually lead to an increase in crime. So what about income? As per capita income grew in the 90s, crime decreased. In fact, the higher the average income in the state, the lower the crime rate. But more money could mean more incentive for criminals, like in neighborhoods that have a big economic disparity. So obviously the crime drop is pretty hard to explain, and there's a whole bunch of other theories. People drinking less, better access to abortion, decreased crack use, Obamamania making folks feel good in 2008, our aging population, and less exposure to lead. Yep, lead. So what do you think is behind the drop in crime? Let us know.
Okay. That's a short clip. Talking about the crime rate has gone down.
Did you hear what she said?
Yeah.
Let me tell you. She said one of the reasons, because more access to abortions. All right. When Secretary of Education Bennett made the statement that you can reduce crime by aborting more black babies. Oh, man. You should have heard the outpour. Abort more black babies to reduce crime. Then, you know, I catch on to these things because I know what's, I hear these arguments. Yeah, I wish you'd play that again. I could point out some more things she said that is totally ridiculous. You can't even keep up with them. I mean, honestly, Anthony. You know, you're going to have less crime because you're going to see a crime is a crime. She said because less violent crime. Well, if somebody breaking your house, you want that person to be prosecuted, captured and prosecuted because they had broke into your house. And when you have enough of that going on in an area, guess what? Property values drop. Everybody's affected. So you're going to say less violent crime. If you're a victim of a crime, it's violent to you. Look at car thefts and hijacking where people are getting killed because somebody wants their car. So that woman is got a lot of holes in her conversation. I think that's an Asian lady, too. I really don't care for listening to you know, just anybody making these assumptions or reporting on these incidents.
I'm huffing. I ain't huffing at you. I'm huffing at there's a lot of background noise, and I hope it doesn't. I hope people can't hear it. But it's just they're just talking too damn loud. I'm gonna have to go in there and tell them to keep it down. It's like they just. That's part of the reason why I got to find another place because they just talk too damn loud. They talk too much, and plus they just want the whole neighborhood to hear them. Anyway, I'm going to overlook that. I'm going to play this last clip, and then we'll get into the meat of tonight's discussion. And I wish they'd shut the hell up. You're killing me. Anyway, I'll play this last clip, and then I will go down the list and read you off the stats. And then before I read the stats, shut up. Before I read you the stats, I'll read you what they did was they went and they did a thing where they came up with what do you want to call it? How they said, you know, every so and so minutes this happens, you know, type like that. I'll read that to you too. I got that. So I'll read that to you in just a second. Let me just play this clip, 5 minute clip, and then we'll get into the good stuff. If you're listening and want to call, want to join us, 563-999-3682. And, oh, I forgot about this. Next week is the 9th. Yeah, next week is the 9th, October 9th. Well, I think, if I'm not mistaken, next Monday is Columbus Day. Ugh. So, I will be doing the 3rd annual Columbus Day of Bullshit story show next Tuesday, even though the day will be over by, it's on a Monday, my show is on Tuesday, so we'll do the 3rd annual Columbus Day of Bullshit show. You know what, I'll be gone. Matter of fact, I saw a commercial the other day. I want to say it's Mattress Firm, Columbus Day sale. Now, my question is, who celebrates Columbus Day? I know the Native Americans don't celebrate it. It's just another bullshit holiday, waste of time, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, that's next week. Let me just play this clip.
Well, let me temper you a little bit on. Let me get, because I just participated in a opposition to a group wanting to take down a Columbus statue. See, Columbus never said he discovered America. He didn't say that. He was on a voyage of exploration. Matter of fact, during the quincentennial, the 500-year mark, which would have been, what, 1995? I see, 55. Something like that. 1992. U.S. Congress passed a resolution recognizing Columbus' voyages of exploration, not voyages of discovery. He never said he did it. And another point, you're talking about Columbus killing Native Americans. Well, how many Native Americans did the Aztec kill? How many did they cut heads off, rip over chests, and take out a beaten heart? Aztecs have over 250,000 force, so it said. The Africans fought the Taino when they came over here on ships. And also you had African kings or people of notoriety that sailed with Columbus. Columbus was supposedly got his maps from Africans, right? Think about those things. During the Revolutionary War, Anthony, you had Native Americans that collaborated with the settlers to get guns so they could do what? Fight other Native Americans. And also, during the Revolutionary War, you had Native Americans that collaborated with the British to fight against what you then was called the Patriots, George Washington and them. They was fighting against George Washington, the Patriots. They was fighting against the Haitians. They were fighting against the French, because the French and the Haitians joined on with George Washington, especially at Savannah, to fight against the British. History is something else, ain't it?
Oh, yeah. Yep, sure is. Sure is. Well, I'll do that next week. I wish they'd be quiet. I don't know if, and I hope I'm not saying this sound like I'm talking to myself. I hope that all that noise doesn't transfer to you, because that would really piss me off. But anyway, let me play this clip, and then we'll jump into the numbers. That take us right around 9 o'clock. Okay, yeah, this will work out. All right, let me try this and I'll be right back.
Hello, YouTube. Welcome back to my channel. My name's Adam. I'll be your host. And hello to all you intelligent folks who have subscribed. Today, I want to talk to you about how minorities commit more crime than white folks. They kill each other more than white folks. That's why the police have to be there. This is bullshit. This is all a lie. Firstly, I want to tell all you people, black, brown, white, all these communities kill each other and commit crime at equal rates. There is no difference. The only difference is how it's reported. That's why the numbers look the way they look. For instance, in the white community, white woman kills her two daughters, gets in a shootout with police. That's a domestic disturbance. That's a domestic disturbance. That's what they'll report it as. But now that I've made this video, they'll go back and correct it. See, because somebody might find this and go look and see if I'm right. But they'll go back and correct it now that I've made this video. They'll correct it. Because if she was black or brown, it's going to be reported as a triple murder and the attempted murder of 25, however many cops were out there that shot her ass dead. It'll be reported as she tried to murder 27 cops. And that's the reality, people. This is the difference. Okay, this is the difference. Not only that, the way black or minority communities, black and brown communities are policed is different from white communities. You can't even walk down a street in a black community or brown community without getting followed and harassed by police. You can't even do it. And the minute you say something, you're resisting arrest. Or you're obstructing official business, their favorite thing to do. Or you're attacking police officers. They just make this shit up. And you'll never get out of jail for months and months. Your whole life will be ruined. That's why in a black and brown community, 70, 80, 90% of them have warrants or are in and out of jail. Because this is what they're doing to our communities. This is why I make my fucking videos. Because black and brown folks need to fucking wake up about what the fuck is happening. Our children have no future. It's that simple, guys. Our kids have no future. Because you refuse to admit what's happening. You're willing to sacrifice your own children just so you can survive another few days. The fact of the matter is, the difference between black and brown folks and white folks is the crimes are reported differently and the communities are policed differently. That's it. Overall, it's even. There's no difference in black and brown and white communities. They kill each other at the same rates. They commit crimes at the same rates. And if you are that much of a Nazi bigoted fuck that you don't know that, then fuck off. This is not up for debate. I'm not here to debate this with you. I'm just telling you, this is a fact. I know. I've lived it. I've seen it. I've watched it. Just like in the town I live in, all white. Mostly white. 99% white folks. Know a person got pulled over about six times for driving without a license. Never arrested once. Not once. If she would have been black or brown, oh, first time, very first time, jail, the max penalties, the max fines, the max jail time, max everything. That's the difference. So the communities are policed different, the charges are different, and the crimes are reported different. It's all different. See, we're under attack, black and brown folks. And the sooner you fucking wake up to this fact, the sooner we can come together so we can do something about it. You're not going to win by yourself, black folks, brown folks. You're not going to win by yourself. But if we come together, then we have a chance. Because we're about 30% of the population. And if we just get 20% of the white folks to come over to our side, now we're about half the population. So we need to wake up, smell the fucking coffee, because it's been brewed for a long time, and realize that we're living in a Nazi bigoted nation that is attacking our people and is guilty of genocide. It's that simple. That easy to understand. That being said, like, subscribe, let me know what you think. Join this page, or I'll join your page.
All right, so I thought I'd throw that in there.
Yeah, but that guy is about as dumb as a box of rocks. Listen to what he said. A white criminal in a white community won't be stopped. Well, guess what? You white folks in your white community need to be getting on your police to start charging your criminals. You follow what I'm saying?
I can believe that.
Yeah, if you got white criminals in your community that's committing crimes, whatever they are, violations, and your police are letting them go, then you need to be getting on your police to punish these people and bring them in. Bill Clinton put out an effort to hire 100,000 more police. And just during this past election, when he was questioned about his three strikes you out, he said what? He had elderly blacks say they wanted to have something done. So this guy here is crazy. Talking about we need to come together. Uh-oh. You know what Malcolm said? Then the whole movement will be misdirected. I mean, you know, and I'm not what I'm doing is just pointing out the hypocrisy in some of these statements between this person and the last female. I just recognize them, man. That's all.
Now, I will say, I was coming home from work one day last week, and I did see that two police cars pulled off to the side of the road, and they were questioning this young, looks like a young teenager, maybe 15, 16 years old. And there were cars, you know, we're just going by and everything, and a lot of cars started to slow down to look to see what was going on. He wasn't in a car. He had on a backpack. So it looked like he was probably walking home from school or walking home from somewhere, and had two cop cars. They had the lights on. He was out there talking to them. And I think a lot of people were slowing down to make sure that the cops didn't
And they done what they were supposed to. That's a good thing that they done. Absolutely right.
We were looking at him. So I don't know what happened, but you know.
If the police
talking to him, I think eventually they let him go. So.
If the public was concerned, they done the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, ain't that we trying to take up for somebody or trying to ignore what is the truth. I just listen to some of these reports that some of these people get involved in, and then it just gets me all kind of teed up because they lying. Then they saying that other people are lying. But anyway, I'm going to continue to listen.
Okay, well, I'm going to let me get in position so I can read these off to you. Like I said, there's going to be about 29 of them, and I'm going to give you the total number, then I'm going to give you the numbers broken down white and African-American. I'm not going to do the other, but all of the numbers total are 100%. So, you know, if you want to do the math, you can do the math, but I'm not going to include the Native American, all that. I'm not going to include those. But so let me read you this right quick. And this is what they call the 2017 crime clock statistics. The first section, one murder every 30.5 minutes, one rape every 3.9 minutes, one robbery every 1.7 minutes, and one aggravated assault every 39 seconds. A property crime occurred every 4.1 seconds. One burglary every 22.6 seconds, one larceny theft every 5.7 seconds, and one motor vehicle theft every 40.9 seconds. So a lot of the time that I read this stuff back to you, there was a property crime, there was a burglary, there was a larceny, and there was a grand theft auto charge, or whatever you call it. Then there was also one aggravated assault. It didn't take that long to read this, but, you know, those were the stats from last year. Okay, so here we go. And this is, how many pages is this? This is a page. This is the front and the back of a page. I'm not going to do the team. I'm not going to do that. But like I said, these are on the FBI website in case you want to go back and check them out. FBI.gov, and they've got all this stuff listed. Looks like it's table 43. Let's go in there and find it, look for it, but it's there. So this is the 2017 crime in the United States, broken down. So here we go. The total last year, total crimes in this country last year, 8,162,849. Out of those, 5,626,140 black, 2,221,697. Like I said, all these total up to 100%, but I'm not going to add the others to these totals. Okay, that was the total. Okay. Murder and non-negligent manslaughter. Total, 9,468. White, 4,188,025. Rape, 18,063. White, 12,187. Black, 5,182. Robbery, 73,764. White, 32,128. Black, 40,024. Aggravated assault, 302,941. White, 188,087. Black, 101,513. Burglary, 154,970. White, 104,671. Black, 46,227. Larceny theft, total 740,546. 501,231. Black, 215,650. Motor vehicle theft. Total was 70,617. White was 46,621. Black was 21,415. Arson. Total was 7,086. White was 5,051. And black was 1,788. Okay, next page. Violent crime. Total was 404,236. White, 236,590. Black is 151,744. Property crime. Total 973,219. White, 657,574. Black is 285,080. Other assaults. Total is 8,671. White was 534,188. Black is 258,542. Forgery and counterfeiting. Total is 43,203. White is 28,130. Black is 13,980. I'm trying to add on more to that. I shouldn't have done, do that. Fraud. Total is 95,997. White is 63,908. Black is 29,556. Embezzlement. Total is 12,437. White is 7,441. Black is 4,683. Stolen property, buying, receiving, possessing. Total is 76,477. White is 48,607. Black is 25,585. Vandalism. 145,934. White is 99,818. Black is 40,861. Weapons, carrying, possessing. Total is 128,009. White is 68,787. blacks is 56,143. Prostitution and commercialized vice. Total is 28,229. White is 15,812. Black is 605. Sex offenses, except rape and prostitution, total is 37,518. White is 26,615. Black is black is 9,355. Here's an interesting one. Drug abuse violations. Total, 1,262,660. White, 889,030. Black, 342,513. Gambling, 2,493. White is 955. Black is 1,294. Offenses against the family and children. Total is 71,659. White is 46,926, and black is 20,106. Driving under the influence. Total is 755,726. Is 617,443. Black is 105,585. Liquor laws. Total is 157,285. White, 122,929. Blacks are 22,095. Drunkenness. Total is 287,985. White is 212,908. Drunkenness. I was drunk again. And blacks is 41,073. Excuse me for that. Disorderly conduct. Total is 273,664. White is 172,098. Blacks is 87,094. Vagrancy, which back in the day, if you were black, would put you in jail for a long time. Total was 8 and 9. Blacks 5,148. All offenses, all other offenses except traffic, 2,540,842. White is 1,750,366, and black was 700,984. And I guess the last one is suspicion, total of 669. White. Last one is curfew and loitering laws and loitering law violation. Total is 23,486. White, 13,156, and blacks 9,523. Okay. So out of all of these, this is nationwide. So out of all of these. Go back. Let's see. Blacks had the most in murder and nonviolent manslaughter, robbery. I think that's it. Wait, I think there might have been one more. Let me see. 29. No. Gambling. That was gambling. Blacks is 51.9%. White was 38.3%. And I think that was it. So everything else. So all other everything else. actually, okay, it looks like, okay, so everything else looks like mostly whites, with a few blacks.
Yeah, but see where you, it's misleading in that is that whites make up, white population is about five times that of African Americans or blacks.
Right, right.
But when you look at the percentages.
So they are going to do more crime. But the other side
absolutely.
Of it, try to put it on, you know, make it sound like all the crime
is
done by black and brown people.
Well, them stupid people, man, that's doing that. But blacks, proportionally, percentage-wise, is way more. I was listening to your numbers. They was anywhere from, 30% more. Let's see. Like if they should have been 10,000, it was 30,000. So they're proportionally, it's just too many. There's a lot of reasons that cause that. Can it be changed? I think it can. But it's just, you're just going up against, see, black people themselves profit off of exploiting these conditions too. You got to remember that. And like in your schools, for instance, and with these programs, these government funded programs, if the crime wasn't there, then these programs would go out of existence and people would be out of a job. So you have to ask yourself, just how readily are they wanting to stop most of this? I think one of the most tragic things, though, is in them schools, Anthony, because that's where it started. If you don't get an education, then you're going to be lacking. You're going to be prone to all kind of things that lead to these reports you just read.
Oh, yeah.
May not
yeah.
be the only thing.
Yeah,
yeah it may yeah, not be the only thing.
Tell.
I bet you would. It plays a big part.
Yeah, because I try to tell young, oh, man, you know what, I'm probably going to bring this to a, you know, it's too much noise. I'm going to choke somebody. But see, I'm going to be a crime statist if I don't watch it. But anyway, yeah, I'm the plan. But yeah, I try to tell, you know, most of the young people that I know, especially my nieces and nephews and stuff, you know, take it an education. Because I really believe that if you get educated, the more you know, the better off you will be. And then you get more educated, you'll get a better job. And then you'll just be too damn tired to go out there and commit crime, because you'll be making your own money, you'll be doing your own thing, you're staying busy, and you ain't got time to be messing with other people that are out there. Because there are people out there that, you know, they ain't about nothing, they don't do nothing, they don't go to school, they don't try to work anything, and then you get stuck around those kind of people, and they're gonna bring you down and get you in all kinds of mess. But if you're educated, you should know better. If you got a decent job and you're out there working, you got to get up in the morning and go to work, you're going to be too busy to be out there messing around. So, you know, it'll keep you off the streets, keep you from being a statistic. And I try to tell young people that all the time. You know, y'all need to, you know, don't even, because what happens is these people that aren't doing nothing, they'll try to make doing nothing sound fun. And when you're young, most of the time, the only thing you're thinking about is fun. Y'all want to do this or, you know, whatever, consequences. So they'll try to make it seem like that. I'm not doing nothing. You know, what's fun? What's fun about sitting around doing nothing? You know, it doesn't make any sense to me. But young people don't think. They just go off of feelings and all that kind of stuff. So if you're out there doing your thing, you're trying to earn some money, you're being positive, then you ain't got time to be a crime statistic. So I try to tell them that all the time. Go to school. School is what you make it. If you go to school and you have a sucky day, I mean, it's attitude.
Mm-hmm.
It's attitude. If you go to school with a good attitude, then you won't get a whole lot out of it. But if you go to school with a stank-ass attitude, then you're going to get stank-ass right back to you. And then you're going to be out there
doing
nothing.
You know another thing, too.
Yeah.
These people out here that's out here committing these crimes and things, I hate to say this, but you ain't going to turn them around easier than
no,
because
once
you,
yeah, because once you, you know, you get hardened, and once you cross that line, yeah, you ain't coming back. Yeah, that's a wrap. That's a wrap.
Yeah. So
you
what you just
back.
Got you saying
what you just got through suggesting for the young people is dead on. You know, prevent them from getting to that position and work with them as hard as you can.
Yeah.
All right, I continue to listen.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm gonna end it in a few minutes anyway, because I've got to do my positive thing. I got to go to work in the morning. I got to get up before the crack of dawn. But anyway, I could tell kids. I kind of wish they would do the old that show they had on Scared Straight. And I used to watch that show when they brought it back on. I'd watch it. I'd try to watch it when I could. And sometimes the stuff would work. Sometimes it didn't work. But the point is, now you got some people, and I was listening to somebody, I forgot who it was, but there are people, and I used to work at a prison, so I've got inside information on this. There are some people that like to go to jail. And I know that sounds crazy, but there are just some people that, you know, that they'd rather depend on somebody else to tell them when they get up in the morning, tell them when they go eat, tell them when they go take a shower, you know, stuff like that, because they'd rather somebody else giving them orders. And there are people that like to go to jail. There are people that will go to jail, get out of jail, do something stupid, and go right back in jail. And then people with brains would be like, what the hell are you doing? You know, that doesn't make any sense. The object of the game is to stay out of jail. But there are just some people that, you know, they don't want to do for themselves. They'd rather have the state take care of them, or, you know, if it's federal, you know, the government taking care of them, so that way they don't have to worry about, you know, taking care of themselves. And then there are just some people that can't do it. They can't take care of themselves. So they end up keep going back, you know, back to jail. I remember when I first started working at the prison, you know, they and I don't know if it's true or not because I wasn't there when it happened, but it was like this one guy, he had got out of, I don't remember how many years he served, but he got out of prison. They gave him a little bit of money. They gave him a bus ticket. Okay, you're free. You can do whatever, go wherever, you know, you're free. Well, this clown ended up coming right back. I don't know what he did to come back, but he ended up coming back. And there are people like that, you know. And I will say this, I like hip hop music. I like the old school hip hop music. But I think this new stuff that they play, I think it's pretty much garbage. I think it does something to make people seem to think, not all of it, but a lot of it, make some of the, especially young people, make them think that, you know, going to jail is cool. And I'm going to tell you, there ain't nothing cool about going to jail. There's nothing cool about it. There ain't a damn thing cool about going to jail. But like I said, they tell you when to wake up in the morning. They tell you when to eat. You got no choice. You eat what they give you, or you don't eat. You know, you can't, you know, you can't go outside. You know, if it's raining, you can't go outside and feel the rain hitting in your face. You know, it's just this small stuff like that. You can't do it if you're in jail. Can't go get a Big Mac. You can't play video games. You can't just watch anything you want to watch on TV. Your freedom is gone. You do what they tell you to do, and there's nothing cool about that. You know, I wouldn't want people telling me what to do, you know, telling me when to get up, when to go walk. No. I get up when I get up. You know, I get up. I get ready to go to work. I leave at a certain time, go to work. I mean, I control that. When you're in jail, you don't control nothing. The state controls all that. So, about being a gangbanger, there ain't nothing cute about going to jail, you know. I wish they would quit romanticizing that, because the shit is just messed up. There's nothing. I mean, I wouldn't even tell anybody I've been in jail. You know, when I used to work there, we used to work 8 hours a day. I was pretty much in jail for 8 hours, but I could leave. At least I could go home. At least I could walk through the door and get in the car and go home. Those guys couldn't do it. You know, and I worked at the men's prison, and right down the street from the men's prison is the women's prison. you know. And I'm not sure how the conditions are in there because I've never been in that one before. You know, I did my a little bit of time at the men's prison, you know, a year in the hospital, in the infirmary part, and then a year on death row, you know. So there's nothing cute about it, you know. And this, and I will say this, and then I'll bring it to a wrap. This at Christmas time, what they would do, that prison, you know, some prisons they have where you can make phone calls and stuff like that. That prison, when I worked at the hospital, they would let the guys make one phone call at Christmas time, give them about 10 minutes to make a phone call. And you get one phone call per year. And whoever you call in, you better hope they're home. Because usually they don't give you second, third chances. So if you in jail for how long you in jail and you got a girlfriend or whatever, and you decide you want to call your girlfriend for Christmas, and she ain't there to pick up the phone, you know, or if you call your mom and she's not home, or you call somebody and they don't, you know, they don't know you're calling, you know, that's probably one of the pitifulest things I've ever seen, seeing a grown man like he about to cry because he just called his girlfriend and his girlfriend didn't pick the phone up. And so he got all these things going through his head, and there's nothing he can do about it. You know, it ain't like he can, like, throw on some clothes and go jump in the car and go find out where his girlfriend is. There ain't a damn thing he can do about it. You know, not saying that she might be not doing whatever, but he ain't going to find out because he don't know. Because he's locked up. So, you know, I'm going to tell you again, if you're young and you're listening to this, tell you right now, there ain't a damn thing cute about going to jail. So stay your ass out of jail. Go to school. Get education. Get you a decent job. You know, don't fall for this. All it's going to do is just have you going to jail, eating sorry ass food. You know, wondering if somebody's going to try to attack you and all that kind of mess. You know, it's not worth it. Just leave that stuff alone. Just do your thing. Go to school. And you'll stay out of trouble. All right. So, I'm going to tie this up with a bow and be done with the show for tonight. Because I got to get up and go to work tomorrow. I'm kind of sleepy. And there was a lot of noise. I hope the noise didn't show up on the background because I'm going to be very pissed if it did. But anyway, so that's the annual crime report. Like I said, the interesting. Let me just say this one more time. The interesting thing stat that I read was where is it? Oh, here it is. Drug abuse violations total was 1,262,660. And out of that, white people 889,030, blacks 342,513. So that breaks down to 70% white, 27% black. But you got to probably think that a lot of that drug abuse is from meth. It looks like now the crime that white people, the drug that white people like to do is meth. And they keep breaking down these doggone meth labs. There's meth labs all over the place. I want to say there was one around here not too long ago. I could be wrong, but I could have sworn I heard something that they found a meth lab somewhere and they had to evacuate, you know, crazy stuff like that. You know, if you can, you know, if you think about it, you can get the equipment to make meth. And I ain't talking about, you know, the Breaking Bad type, you know, when they're making it like and big vats or anything. I'm talking about making this stuff in a house with kids in the house with you as long as you're making this stuff. I mean, that's just crazy. I want to say it's right. I can't remember where it was, but I did hear that one meth lab got busted because, you know, there's crazy stuff. So that was interesting because some people want you to believe that most black people own drugs and all that kind of mess. Well, that's total opposite. So like I said, I'm going to bring this to a close. I will see you next week, but I will also say that, you know, if you want to do more research on this, you know, Google is your friend. You can Google this stuff. www.fbi.org. not org, gov, and bring up all this stuff, bring up all the tables and all that good stuff, and it'll tell you what you're looking for. All right, so I'm going to end this program for tonight. I will see you next week. We're going to talk about Columbus and what he didn't discover, the whole nine. I will give you a story that schools don't give you. But we'll talk about that next week. And until then, peace out. I will see you next week.